Well, a lot of people say best short story that's ever been told, the one that Jesus preached in Luke 15. And so last week, looking at the younger son and what happened to him, and this week the older son, and next week the heart of the father and how he prepares a celebration for us. So pray and ask God to speak to you always through different parts of his word. And Jesus said, it's the soul that is sick, it's the one who is sick that needs a physician. And probably in the last 6 months you've been checked out by some kind of medical doctor for eyes or teeth or something going on in your life. But Jesus was speaking of the spiritual health in our souls. He said, it's the sick that need a physician. And he's a physician. And in the story that he tells, both sons are sick. Both sons are really sick and need the intervention of God in their lives. And the first son is somebody who said, you know, I'm really not interested in fellowship with the Father. I want what the Father has for me. Couldn't get his mind off himself. And so he gets half of the estate or gets part of the estate and off he goes and he wastes everything that the father gave him. And that younger son really represents a rebellion from God himself. He ends up in a faraway place, blowing everything. He says, here I am starving to death. And if in your own soul, if you feel a hunger for God, you say, boy, I feel like I'm far away from God. I'm starving to death. It could be that you are apart from fellowship with God the Father. And he'd nourish you on the best that is his son. And so the older son ends up in the pigsty. We should know every time we turn away from the Lord in our hearts, we end up in the pigsty, either in our soul or in what is surrounding us. And so the father sees the younger son. The younger son starts to make his way home. And the amazing grace response of the father to the younger son is really life-changing. He sees the father, the father sees the younger son, runs down the road to the son. He's filled with compassion for him, hugs the son and kisses him and says, bring the best robe and put it on my son. Really represents being clothed with God's goodness himself. He says, bring a ring and put it on his finger. Represents the family ring, that everything the father has now is restored to the younger son. And put sandals on his feet so he can live a brand new clean life. Something the Lord would do for us. And not only that, last week we didn't mention, kill the fatted calf. That was the best food in the house. Did you ever have somebody go out and say, I went and searched far and wide. I got the best food for you. You'd say, well, this is great. And that represents how God could feed us on Christ, the one who feeds our soul. And so the younger son is welcomed home. And I've been in services, Billy Graham crusades, for example, where people are asked to come forward and surrender their heart to Christ. And that's so important to do in your lifetime if you have never done that. Just in your own heart say, Lord, I give my life to you. Come and be my Savior. I've seen people run toward the front of the worship time just because they wanted to be close to God. And that's a tremendous thing. But you should know in every worship service where God's word is preached, God sees where you are, runs to your pew and sits next to you and hugs and kisses you and gives you the robe and gives you the ring and gives you the shoes. And he said, you were once dead and now you're alive. You were once lost and now you're found. And no matter where you're at with the Lord, if you're like the younger son, you took off and you're far away from God in some manner. God would come and run to you and have a big celebration just for you. He'd do that for you. The biggest party anybody ever threw. It would be God the Father himself coming for you. That was his heart toward the younger son. And so spiritually, that's where we're at. The younger son is sick. He knows it. And the father rescues him. The second son also is in the story. And he is sick too, but he doesn't know it. He's lost. And he can't decide what to do. I heard a story of a little girl, one of our pastors in the area, took his family to Disneyland, and his daughter got lost at Disneyland. That's a frightening place to get lost. So many people and so many places to wander off to. And he said he looked around for a while, wondering, where is she? Asked his wife, I don't know, I thought she was with you. And he said he told a security guard, got on the cell phone right away, shut down Disneyland. This part of the place was shut down, and the other part of the park was shut down. Stop everything and search for the one. That's the father's heart to you, to the younger son, and to the older son. But the older son, he's lost. He don't know he's lost. Okay, he's in the father's house. He thinks everything's terrific with him. But he's outside of fellowship with the father. And in the story, which is a scary thought, but really that's the focus of the Lord in the second half of that story. In the story, remember, he tells that story to tax collectors and sinners and to Pharisees and teachers of the law. So this is the part for the Pharisees and teachers of the law, the older son. And the older son has qualities that most likely church people like you and I will catch as symptoms in our lives. Jesus is making an appeal to the Pharisees and Bible teachers to get back to fellowship with God again. Because they're in the Father's house. They're even serving, many doing many things, but they are not one with the Father's heart. And so it's a hard lesson to learn, but Jesus tells us that because he loves us. And he wants us to respond with the ability to receive the grace of God. So what are some of the signs or symptoms in the heart of the older brother? And we can ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this a sign or a symptom that is often in my life? And remember, the Lord does that to bring us to himself so we can be a part of the celebration he has. Well, the first symptom the older brother had is that he was angry and joyless. Okay, that was just a condition of his heart. When he heard that good things were happening for the younger brother, he had no, you know, that didn't thrill him. He said, why is that? His focus, the reason he was so angry, his focus was really himself. And he could not rejoice in the grace of God that was being expressed. So he was full of anger and without joy. And joy is not something normally we could pump up in ourselves, you know. If we're down or tired or something like that, we can't say, I decide to be joyful. Boom, just like that. It's a fruit that God would bring in our lives when we yield to him. And I could look at myself in the mirror today and see how things are going. But I often can't see into my soul if there's anger and lack of joy there. Only God can bring that up. That I need the fruit of his spirit in my life like that. And many times, other people will detect it before we do. So the older brother, what was characteristic of his life? He was angry. He was joyless. And I remember a situation growing up with my brother where I became angry toward him and joyless in what we were doing. We were having a touch football game in the backyard or down the road. And he scored a touchdown. And I didn't like the fact that he scored a touchdown. I wanted to score the touchdown. So the next time he got the ball, he's running, and I hit him as hard as I could into the fence that was there, and he cut his foot at the bottom of the fence, and it was rusty, foot's all bleeding, stitches, and a tetanus shot because of the anger of the brother. See happening. And you might not do that physically toward another person, but sometimes if you're not close to the Father, that's how you'll respond in life to people in an attacking way in some manner. If you have unresolved anger toward your brother, you'll be out of fellowship with the Father. Or unresolved anger toward the Father, out of fellowship with the brother. Christ invites you to both. And only the Lord's love and appeal could get us back out of that joyless and angry heart or lifestyle. And it's so easy. You know, that's one of the most easy emotions to pick up and decisions to make, to remain angry, remain joyless. God would deliver us from the older brother attitude with that point. Second symptom the older brother had, the father would appeal to him about, was he was not responsive or impressed with God's gracious pleading. God said in the story, the father said, "You come and be a part of what's happening. You come and be a part of all the good things I'm doing over here." The older brother said, "No, I'm not going to do that." He's not impressed with the grace of God. And the grace of God is something that should get our attention and draw us to an attitude of thanksgiving and reverence to God. Think of all the graciousness that God has extended to us as people in Christ. Remember, the father had eventually to tell the older brother, "Look, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours." What has God given you as a Christian? What has he shared with you? Do you ever think about that? Well, he shared his son with you. That's the best. He's the best King of Kings. He shares his Holy Spirit with us so that God can work in our hearts. He shares the heaven as a gift for us that we neither earn nor deserve. He shares the forgiveness of sins. He gives us the truth of his word. John said, the Bible says in John chapter 1, he's given us in Christ one blessing after the next. This is for the older brother too. And if you're a resident of United States, he's had us be born into the most wealthy country in the history of the world. Wow. That's humbling. That causes us to want to be a good steward. And he says, "Well, not only that, I'll put 12 churches in every town for you, you know, to grow." And he says, "Not only that, I give you Christian radio 24 hours a day, Christian TV 24 hours a day, one grace upon the other." And if we have an older brother's heart, you know what we say to the Lord in our prayer life? We say, "Lord, could you please do something so I can get excited about you?" And one blessing after another he gives us. The father says, "Hey, everything I have is yours." The father doesn't even get miffed or ticked off about that. Isn't it one of our tendencies in our heart when we look at the older brother is to become pharisaical about the older brother? What a bum he is. The father doesn't do that. Father says, you come, I have something that can change your heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh that I could work through. And so the older brother, he wasn't impressed by the grace of God. It didn't get to him. But remember, the Lord has been good to you. And he offers a recounting of his kindness in your life. And you could enjoy the celebration if you have an older brother heart, just like the younger brother enjoyed the fellowship of the Father. It's there for you too. No matter how long you've been a church person or, you know, a clergy, often, and I know in my own heart, since we're always with church, to say, "Lord, watch my heart to not get an older brother heart, because then I'm out of fellowship with God." Well, the older brother is, he's not impressed with the grace of God, and he's not impressed with the Father either. He's the Father, so what? I'm not going in to be with him. And again, if you find an older brother spirit in your life, become acquainted again with the greatness of God himself. What would revive your heart more than who God is? You couldn't find anything greater. What would revive your heart more than God himself? Only who God is. So the older brother, he has a chance to be with the father. He says, "I'm not impressed with that." What is the older brother impressed with? If he's not impressed with the father, what in the world is he impressed with? Well, he starts to talk about himself. That's a problem right there. The older brother says, "All these years I have been slaving for you." This is the focus of his life. Himself. Pretty much. "All these years I've been slaving for you." Why would you slave for somebody you really loved? You know, when you really, when your heart's really for a person, I mean, you showed up maybe on your wedding day, and maybe it took you a while to get there and get the tuxedo on or something, and you turn to your bride and you say, "I've been slaving for you just to get here." You know, you'd say, should say, "Hey, you obviously your heart's not for me in this experience. Why would you slave for God if you love Him? Is not everything that you do something that you say, 'Oh, glad to do this,' simply because of who you are? You have my heart." He wasn't impressed with the Father, so he was impressed with his own spiritual achievement. "All these years I've been slaving for you. I'm working my way. So, Lord, you owe me something." Maybe we try to control God like that. God says, "No, I'll be in charge." He wasn't sure of God's love apart from his own works. You know, God may allow us to do, in laboring with him, things that count for forever. But we should never count on what we do to be at peace with the Father. We always count on what Christ does to be at peace with the Father. And so he had to abandon his rejection of the Father. He had to abandon his rejection of his brother. He said, "Well, at least I'm morally superior to my brother. I know that much." You know, you don't have to be much of a human being to look down on somebody else and find something that you feel superior to them about. It doesn't take a genius to do that. It takes a small heart to be looking in that way. But the older brother rejected the Father, so he was not in fellowship with the Father, not in fellowship with his younger brother. Wasn't concerned about his brother's salvation. Does he know the Lord? I don't know. Who cares? You know, the Father was bringing him, "Come and be a part of the celebration. Be a part of what I'm doing in my brother's life." Always, it's always a bad sign if we're not in fellowship with our brother and sister in Christ. That's a strong signal. We're really not in fellowship with the Father. That's a good standard the Lord puts forth for us. And that's a strong standard for participation in church life. You know, I know in my life, I think I'm real close to the Lord if I have the strong devotions. I sing my favorite songs to the Lord and off I go. But really, I know I'm in healthier fellowship with the Lord if I'm in fellowship with other people. Because that's where I have to live out my walk with Christ. That's how we show our love for God, our love for each other. So the older brother needed to have a heart for his father. He needed to have a heart for his brother. And who could give him that but the Father himself? You know, the Holy Spirit's saying, "Boy, this is an easy tendency to get into. And you have that older brother heart. How can you forsake it?" With God's help, you could say, "I forsake the attitude of the older brother. I want to be joining the Father in the great love and activities that he has." The good news in the parable of the two lost sons is everybody was wrong in the story except God. The younger brother was messed up. The older brother was messed up. Everybody had sinned. Everybody was in need of the grace of God. And everybody was loved. And there was room at the table for them. And in our hearts, as hearing Jesus in that story, if we say, "Boy, I need help with the older brother spirit," ask the Lord to remove that from our hearts and to give us a heart able to receive the grace of God. So, yeah, my tendency is to be an angry, joyless person, not impressed with God, more impressed with my own religious activities. And the application to make to our lives is you and I will never stop being the younger brother or the older brother until we turn and admit our need for the grace of God. We'll never stop being the younger brother, blows everything, older brother, hard-hearted, unless we admit our need for the grace of God. We hear the Father say, "Come, come in." And God can do that for us through Christ. Watch the false gospel that says, I'm righteous because of what I do. That's the gospel of the older brother. Take the gospel of Christ. I can be righteous because of what Christ has done. And all the goodness in life I find in Him. And like the older brother, you and I, what we might be in the Father's house. We might have even been slaving away for the Father for years. But we still might not have fellowship with the Father. We wouldn't want to be lost after many years of being around the house. God is so gracious. Come, give you that robe and ring and sandals and say, rejoice, this is for you. Would you like to have a celebration with the Lord? He invites you, and out of His grace and mercy, please accept the invitation of the Father. Fellowship and love for Him. Life-changing times with a God who cares for us. He turned to us before we turned to Him. The Father went out and said, come on, even before we said, I'm not even going to turn that way. God turns to you before you turn to Him. So yield your heart to Him today. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for telling us this story through your Son, Jesus, that you made this great appeal to the older brother. And you went out and you said, everything I have is yours. We have to celebrate. Because from death there can be life, and from being lost there could be friendship with God again. I pray, Father, for every heart, my own heart, that you'd deliver us from this catchy attitude that the older brother had. So easy to have as a human being, to be resentful to God or to somebody else about something. Instead of thankful for the one blessing after another you offer us in Christ. Make us able to receive the grace of God. On our knees, or a sense of our own desperation, sense of our own spiritual illness, whatever reality we need to face. And rejoice in the great love of God for us. Might there be peace with God through faith in Christ in hearts today. And give us that sense of being glad you've invited us into salvation with yourself. Just bless every heart. Hear our silent prayers as we ask you to speak to us. Thank you for your good news, which is greater than our sin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.